mentioning that since there is a halacha that by liquids which have cooled off completely, we mentioned that there is an iser to reheat them once they've cooled off completely. But we said it's really a machlokas rishonim. There are rishonim that hold that there is no iser. There's no problem of bishul achar bishul. There's no problem of reheating even liquids. Solids for sure. Everyone agrees that a solid food, a dry food, there's no problem of reheating it once it's fully cooked. You can reheat it on Shabbos.
Where do you draw a line? What is a solid and what is a liquid? Like which amount? Like beef that has solids?
Okay, I'll address it, Mr. Shem. I'll address that tonight. Okay. But so a solid food is not a problem, but a liquid is a machlokas rishonim. And we mentioned the machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch had a paskin. The machaber of the Shulchan Aruch paskins l'chumra, like the Rishonim that say there is an iser of bishul achar bishul by a davar lach shen etzdanim, by a liquid that cooled off. And according to the machaber, that means even if it didn't cool off entirely, once it went beneath yad so lettuce bow, you're not allowed to reheat it to the point of yad so lettuce bow. When we said even the Ramah is more mekel, the Ramah in Shin Yud Ches Sif Tezvav is more mekel. And he paskins that the only time it's a problem is if it's nitzstanin legamre, if it cooled off entirely. But if there's still some heat left, even if the degree of heat is less than yad so lettuce bo, but there's still some heat left in the liquid, according to Ramah, there's no iser to reheat it. So we mentioned that the discussion about if you filled a cup with water and you drank the water already. And now it's for the most part empty, but there are some remaining droplets, and you want to refill it. So we said if the water was from the tap, water that was never cooked, you just rinsed out the cup, and then you use it, and they emptied it, and now you want to pour hot water into it. You want to put hot water. So we said that Rav Moshe writes in Teshuva, and others say this as well, that it's kedai to dry it out first, dry out the cup even from the droplets, because even though the droplets are small and insignificant, and you don't really care about them, which is what insignificant essentially means. But nonetheless, since they were never cooked, so cooking them is definitely to actually cook them is definitely nisa deraisa. So to pour hot water on them is also something that is one should not do on Shabbos. Okay. Whereas if the droplets are from water that was heated already, meaning let's say you took a dry empty cup and filled it with hot water from an electric urn or from a tea kettle or urn on the stovetop, and after drinking that water or using up that water, you then want to refill it and you have these droplets in the cup, but the droplets are from water that was cooked before, even though they may have completely cooled off. That you could be makel on, and you could pour the new fresh hot water onto them, because although again it's this bishul achar bishul really, but since bishul achar bishul is a machlokes, the rishonim hold that there's really no iser altogether. So for a case like this where it's just insignificant droplets and you're only cooking them by pouring onto them rather than by placing them in a kli rishon, which is going to be a significant point which maybe we'll be able to discuss tonight, then you could be makel on them.
You already answered a big part of my question, but the second part is, what is the opinion of Rav Moshe about reheating liquids?
He would pass on like the Ramah that it's permissible as long as the liquid is not completely cooled. But if it's completely cooled, then
sure.
Then we're machmir. But Iker, we mentioned last week, Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish both understood pshat in the Ramah Shita that may ikar adin, it's mutter, but we're machmer. Once it's completely cooled off, we're machmer not to read. Okay, now.
Is there a difference between the imri or placing them in a clear vision?
Yes, and I'll try to explain that tonight. I'll try to get to that tonight. I just want to go through one of those things and then hopefully get to that. Okay, maybe let's try to get to that. So, the question was asked before. So how do you define if something is wet or dry? Meaning sometimes you'll have something which is not bone dry. It's a solid piece of food, but it has some liquid on it, some moisture on it. So do we define that as as a liquid thing, as a davar lach, because there is some lachos there, there is some mashke, and say that you have no right to expose it to heat, even if it was cooked already, but you can't recook it, reheat it. Or do we say no? It's a dry solid food. It just has a little bit of liquid. Perhaps there's some point, there's some degree of liquid that you could disregard. So that was your question before, and that's what we need to address. So there is a shita in halacha that says you go after rov. That as long as it's primarily, it's mostly dry, even if there's a significant amount of liquid, but it's mostly dry, it's mostly solid food, and you have a mixture of solid food with some liquid, and it's more solid food than liquid, there's a shita that says that's still called dry, and you're allowed to reheat it, even though there's a lot of liquid there, but it's mostly solid or dry, and mostly davar yavish. This shita originates in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham, who was one of the Rishonim, was a Talmud of the Rush, and he says that in the Rabbeinu Yerucham says such a definition of Davar Yavesh, that means as long as it's Rov Yavesh. The Rabbeinu Yerucham says this in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yerucham in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah.
Okay.
That's what the Beis Yosef says. That the Rabbeinu Yerucham says the name of Rabbeinu Yonah.
But the Beis Yosef was also stringent about reheating things that were completely cold, the liquid.
Yes, but he's defining that even so, as long as he's bringing a shita that says as long as it's rov yavesh, it's permissible. Now this is brought by the Minchas Kohen. Minchas Kohen is one of the early Achronim, and the Minchas Kohen brings this.
But why is that you disregard the liquid?
Well, so probably the explanation would be because when we say that there's bishlach habishl by liquid but not by solid, it doesn't necessarily mean there that whenever there's any amount of liquid, a drop of liquid, oh, you have to worry about that. That drop got reheated, you did an isser. No, we give a shame to a food. We have a food matter in front of us, and we have to give it one status. One status. What is it? Is this a davar lach or is it a davar yavish? And so this shita would be saying that, like in many years of Torah, we go after rov. Rov. Does the Beis Din hold that the man is chayav or pater? So it depends what rov. What do rov dayanim say? If rov dayanim say that he's chayav, then we say okay, the Beis Din paskin that he's chayav. If rov didn't say pater, then the Beis Din, even though the Beis Din is comprised of those who said chayav and those who said pater. But afal pikein, we give one shame. If the majority of dayanim said pater, then the Beis Din said pater. Or you know, in other things, like we many things in the Torah. Once we have the animal has a simen, you know, the trachea of the animal is esophagus. You have to shecht it. You have to slaughter it in order to make the animal, you know, both of them, but in order to make the animal kosher. So we want to know at what point is this simen considered shachet? You shechted it partially. You didn't take the knife. The shochet didn't take the knife and go through from one end to the other. It's partially slaughtered, partially cut open, and partially intact. So what is it called? Is it called shachet or is it called shalim? So we go after rov. If it's rov shachet, it's mostly shachet, then the simen is called shachet. And if it's rov shalim, it's not called shachet. So perhaps that's what the Minchas Kohen is saying here too. Because it's not really a question of mitzius that a liquid has can have bishul and a solid can. The idea is, like we said last week, that by a liquid, the main advantage of the bishul is the fact that it got heated, it became hot. So once it lost its heat, then that's what some Rishonim say that yesh bishul habishul is an issur to reheat it because the whole bishul was the heating. Whereas by solid, it's not that way. So, but once this food is not just liquid. This food is not only not only liquid. It's primarily not liquid. It's primarily solid. So the advantage of bishul remained in this food for the most part. It's still mavushal because it's still yavesh. So that might be why the shita would say you go after rov. Okay, but the Minchas Kohen, who, as I was saying, says if you look up the Rabbeinu Yerucham that we have available, we have the Sefer Rabbeinu Yerucham. It doesn't say that there. The Beis Yosef quotes him as saying that you go after rov, and the Rabbeinu Yerucham that we have access to doesn't say such a thing. So he said, the Minchas Kohen says, maybe the Beis Yosef wasn't really quoting it verbatim. He was uptaiching him, meaning he was saying over what Rabbeinu Yerucham said the way he understood it. But You know, but not that it, you know, it says that literally word for word or in the Rabbeinu Yerucham. In any case, the Minchas Kohen paskins that way. He agrees la halacha that that's the koveya. You go after Rov. And the Prima Gadim quotes this as well. Prima Gadim was one of the Achronim on Shulchan Aruch that we're more ruggle with because we have much more areas of Shulchan Aruch. And it's also quoted over by the Marsham in his Das Torah on Shulchan Aruch and the Sefer Shvisas HaShabbos as well. They all quote this Shita of the Minchas Kohen based on the Beis Yosef and the Rabbeinu Yerucham. However, if you learn Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yud Ches here, he does not, to the best of my knowledge, he does not mention this. He does not bring down this Minchas Kohen or this Prima Gadim. He quotes the Prima Gadim quite extensively. He does not bring down this Prima Gadim that, as far as I know, that it goes Basar Rov. And a number of the Achronim speak against it. Say that this is not the halacha. The Ktsos HaShulchan says that it's from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. It would seem he does not pass in this way either, because the Lashon Shulchan Aruch is roughly Tavshel She'ein Bo Rotev Klal. It has no rotev, no liquid, or no sauce at all. That doesn't sound like 49 to 51. He's saying it seems that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in this way. And also Rav Moshe Zatzal in the Tshuva and Igros Moshe writes that this halach of the Michas Kohen is not barur, and one should be machmir, except he's right, b'shas halchak gadol, perhaps one could be somech on this. If for whatever reason, maybe there was a simcha or some other reason when some food that had to be served and there was a lot of rotev there and it couldn't really be dried off, but it was necessary to serve it, and so b'shas halchak gadol, perhaps one could be mekel like this. Al-Kopan, if you don't hold like this, if you don't go after rov, So even so, it doesn't mean it has to be bone dry. It doesn't have to be bone dry. It has to be that it's essentially dry. There could be a little bit of sauce on it, or a little bit of the juices that come out of the meat, or whatever it is. It doesn't have to. If you look in the Lashon of Mishnah Berurah, one or two places when he talks about reheating something to make it dry, he says, pour out the liquid and then you could reheat it. And, you know, like he's talking about tea leaves in one place. Pour out the liquid. So he doesn't say pour out the liquid and take a tissue or a shmata and dry off the leaves and make sure that they're completely. It doesn't say that. He says, pour off the liquid. If you pour off the liquid, it's still going to be, you know.
Would it not be burr?
Yeah. That's interesting.
You can take out the meat.
But take out what?
The meat.
Well, he's saying less of the tea leaves, but you mean take out the...
whatever you want to use.
Right. So the truth is, when the Mishnah Berurah was talking about that, he was really talking about doing that before Shabbos. Pour it out before Shabbos, and then you could use those tea leaves to pour hot water on them on Shabbos. But the pouring part could be before. There is... there is, yes, a big discussion halacha about borer when you have a taruvis of mashke and solids and liquids, and that there is a issues of borer that would have to address. It's not so simple, right? When you have liquids and solids, to pour off all the liquid is definitely a shayla borer. Yes, okay, very good. But so Mr. Brewer was talking about before Shabbos. But the point I'm bringing is that he doesn't say that you have to make sure it gets totally dry. So it would seem that would be a mahalach, that as long as something is essentially dry, there is some remnant moisture or liquid on it, but it's essentially dry, that we would dan as a davar yavesh. Okay, now, I want to say like this. When we said that there's an isser, or let's talk about the hetri better. When we said that by a davar yavesh, by a solid food, there is no isser of bishlach bishl, right? A solid food, once it was completely cooked, ready to serve, even if it cooled off, you're allowed to reheat it on Shabbos, as long, you know, in a permissible manner. You can't put it on the fire directly, but you're allowed to put it in a place where it could get heated up and get back to Yassel Edesbo. So for an example, I gave you the example of a piece of chicken that was boiled chicken or boiled meat, chopped meat, a meatball, and it was boiled before Shabbos and that was completely cold. You're allowed to put it back into a pot of soup off the fire. Take your pot of soup off the fire, but it's very hot, burning hot, a kli rishon, burning hot, You could put the meatball or the chicken into there. It's going to get very hot, that meat. You're allowed to do that because ain bishlach habishl. Okay. But what the poskim say, where this came up briefly the other week, that's only bishul achar bishul. But what about tzli achar bishul? Meaning, let's say the food was to begin with was mavushal. Mavushal means it was cooked in liquid, and now you want to expose it to heat on shayet kulrof, and you want to expose it to heat not in liquid. You want to put it near in a place where it's near a fire and it could get a roasted texture to it. It's close enough to a fire that the heat of the fire will get it up the yetzlet's bow and give it maybe like a crisp, make it like more dry it out, or in a way that it's more crispy and gets like a texture of something roasted. That's called sli achar bishul, and that's usur. Or for that matter, and the prime case where I should have started perhaps was bishul achar sli. There's no problem of bishul achar bishul, but let's say the meat wasn't roasted meat. Wasn't boiled meat. Wasn't boiled chicken or a meatball cooked in liquid. Let's say it was a piece of meat or chicken that was roasted before Shabbos, not in liquid. It was just roasted by over the fire. So to now put that into hot water on Shabbos, into a hot soup, is usur. That would be called bishul achar tzli. That's usur. There's no problem doing bishul achar bishul. Or for that matter, there's no problem doing tzli achar tzli. But if you initially did tzli, you roasted the meat over the fire dry, and now on Shabbos, you want to know if you could put it into hot water, into liquid, which would be called bishul, that you can't do. Or the other way around too, tzli achar bishul. Now this is really a machlokas rishonim as well. Not all shitas hold like this, but this is the sheet of the Re'im, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. Excuse me, and it's brought in the Torah, and it's brought lahalacha. The Shulchan Aruch brings the halacha in Shin Yud Ches Siv Hei, that we are machmer not to do bishlach atzli. So an example of that would be, let's say you have your pot of soup. You made a pot of soup before Shabbos, and it's off the fire. You take it off the fire on Shabbos, and it's burning hot, but off the fire. You would not be allowed to take challah and put challah into that soup, or matzah. Let's say you want to break up pieces of matzah and put it into soup to add to the soup, or for that matter, soup mandolin, soup nuts, which were baked. Baked is like tzli. That's also afia. You can't do bishul achar afia. So if you have soup nuts which were not cooked before Shabbos, they were just baked, like many of the soup nuts. They were just baked. So to take those and you would not be allowed to take those and put them into the pot of soup, because you would be doing bishul to them now. Bishul achar tzli, or bishul achar afia, which you're not allowed to do. So the truth is, no, even in the klisheni you can. But and that's what we're going to have to, I hope tonight, we'll just finish this discussion, to describe, and we're using these terms because everybody knows them, but we need to define kli rishon, kli sheni, and irui, pouring, like we were speaking about before. We need to define these things. But okay, we know the basic term, that if your soup was transferred from the pot in which it was cooked into a bowl, and just for simplicity's sake, let's say you actually poured. You poured, forget about a ladle for the moment. Let's say you poured from the bowl into a soup pot, a soup bowl, into a bowl or into a mug. So that mug or bowl is a kli sheni, and the kli sheni has different halachas. But even so, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, or the Rama certainly paskins, that you should not put a bread, which has been baked obviously and not cooked, you should not put bread into that soup bowl. As long as it's yatzo lettuce bowl, as long as the temperature in the soup bowl is yatzo lettuce bowl, we'd say l'churma, that would mean roughly 110 degrees, you should not put any bread or matzah or baked soup nuts into that. If you want to put them in, says the Mishnah Berurah, either wait for it to cool off, wait for the soup in the bowl to be less than yatzo lettuce bowl, or he says, at least if you use a ladle, if you do, you don't pour like I just described, but you use a ladle to scoop out soup from the Kli Rishon and pour it into your bowl. So that is arguably, now the bowl is a Kli Shlishi. Meaning there's a possibility to define the ladle becomes a klisheni, even though the ladle went into the soup pot, which is why it's somewhat controversial. But if the ladle, there's at least a possibility that it's certainly, if you put this ladle in, as I said, when the soup is already off the fire, and you didn't leave it there, you didn't let the ladle sit in the pot and get nice and hot, you just simply scooped out soup. You scoop out soup in the ladle, so that could be defined as a klisheni, and then you pour that into the bowl, so the bowl's already a klishlishi, so for this halacha, you could be mekel. Now, we'll see, Mr. Shem, that we're not mekel always in klishlishi for everything. But here, where the whole thing is a machlok, as I said before, not all the Rishonim agreed to the Re'im, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, that there's an isser of Bishal Achar Afiyah. Not everyone holds it. Some Rishonim holds no problem. Just like there's no Bishal Achar Bishal, there's no Bishal Achar Tzli.
What would be the reason why Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's not? That's a problem.
That is a problem. Well, first of all, I mean, he bases it on Gemaras. He has rights from Gemaras. But the svara would be that the only thing you're allowed to repeat what's already been done to the food before Shabbos, you could repeat on Shabbos, because once it underwent that process, so it and to a point where it's edible for to the average person, so that process is complete. So it never loses the shame bishel. So you can't. There's no problem being re-bishelling it.
Once it's edible, what difference
no,
does it make?
No, because if it's edible through tzli, that means you exhausted its tzli potential. But it still has potential to become a different type of food. There's a difference between a piece of food, a chicken that's roasted over the barbecued chicken and roasted chicken, right? You'll have clearly a difference in the texture of the food, right? And the taste of the food, and so the fact that you've roasted it,
you're not cooking it, and you're not changing it.
Well, you are, because you're giving it. If you take a roasted piece of chicken and you put it into a hot pot of soup, very hot pot of soup, and let it sit there until the point where it boils a little bit, or it gets a boiled texture, it's different. It softens, and it's a different texture than the piece of than the barbecue. If you took the hot dog which you prepared over the barbecue, and then you put it and you boil it in water, some people say, nah, you ruined it. I wanted a nice crispy barbecued hot dog. Now you boiled it in water, it's a different chefza. So as I said, Rabbi Lezmitz didn't just create this misara. He has raya. He has raya's, and you could take a look in the Torah and the Beis Yosef if you wish. He has raya's from Shas. But the svara would be that even though all the bishul molecules are used up, or all the potential of bishul has been exhausted and has been used up, but there's potential to change it into a tzli item, or to add to it a tzli component. But this brings out a point, because the Shulchan Aruch says that at the same time where the Shulchan says it's also to do that, he also says that if you later on in the siman, it says well, that if you have a piece of meat that was boiled, that was mavushal, you could put it next to a fire to heat it up on Shabbos. Not next to a fire, because ain bishul acha bishul. But well, one second. But why isn't that tzli? Many achronim asked the question. The Maimar Mordechai and the Beis Meir and the Chazanish and the Bir Lacha. Why? That's not bishul acha bishul. That's tzli acha bishul. You boiled it originally. Now you're putting it next to an open fire. So what the Chazanish and the Maimar Mordechai, I believe, answer is that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about when you're just heating it up, and you're not leaving it there, you're not putting it close enough to the fire to give it a roasted texture. There it's not changing, its texture is not changing. It's just getting hot by way of the fire without water. But it's not changing its texture. The itzer of tzliach habishul is to subject it to fire in a way that it undergoes a change in its mahus, in its echos, in its texture. It's not purely a boiled food anymore. It now has somewhat of a roasted texture. So, but if it's short of that, then it's not a problem. That's what these achronim say. The Bir Lacha doesn't answer the kasha. He leaves it as a difficulty. Why is the mutter to do that? And in fact, he says the answer which the Maimar Mordechai says, which is, I believe, essentially what I just said over, he says is dachuk. He doesn't seem to like that answer. So I don't know how to deal with it according to the Bir Lacha. But the Chazanish says that answer as well. And I think that's the answer that we work with. The Chazanish also has a different possibility. But okay, let's leave that for now. So now... So says the Be'er Lacha. Well, so okay, so we're following the Shita of the Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, which is brought in the Mechaber Sifhei, and the Ramah for sure endorses it in Sifhei, that it's usher to do Bishlach Hatzli, and it's usher to do Tzliach HaBishl. But what happens if you did Bishl before Shabbos? Bishl and then Tzli. You did them both before Shabbos. You cooked, you took the thing and cooked it in water, and then you held it over the fire till it got a roasted texture. Could you now put it on Shabbos into the hot soup?
And you're reverting it back.
What you said, we'll get this, the Prima Lacha says. But first he quotes the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim says, okay, no, it's okay. Once you did Bishl, and you did Sli, so now you're allowed to do Bishl again, because the Bishl is done. There's no more potential to be over Bishl on this thing, because it's already Bishled. And there's no potential to be over Tzli, because it's already Tzolah, it's already Tzli. So everything is done to it, you know, those two things. The Bishl is done, the Tzli is done. So you could do either one now on Shabbos without a problem. Says the Be'er Lacha, no, like Moshe Feben. Says, no, I don't see why that's true. Maybe the Bishl was done, but after the Bishl, you did Tzli on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, right? You did Tzli. So once you did Tzli, so now there's a problem on Shabbos. If you're going to put it back at the hot water, you're going to be being Mevashel the Tzli, Shabbat. It now got a Tzli texture. So by putting it at the hot water, you're going to be cooking the Tzli texture. So the Mishnah says, I don't see why it should be mutter. I think if you did Bishl and Tzli, you can't do Bishl again. If you did Tzli then Bishl, you can't do Tzli again. But he says, one thing I would grant, he says, is that once you did, let's say you did Tzli and then Bishl, whichever one you did second, you could repeat on Shabbos. Because the one that you did second, that's more invested, or more, not invested is not the right word, but it's more in the piece of meat, it's more present, it has a greater presence in the piece of meat, and therefore to redo the second one on Shabbos is good. So again, if you barbecued, you took a piece of chicken before Shabbos and you held it over the barbecue and got it roasted, then before Shabbos you put it into a pot of water and cooked it, for whatever reason you did both. So now on Shabbos, if you want to put it back into a hot pot of water, off the fire of course, you'd be allowed to do that. Because the Bishl came second, so there's no problem in doing further Bishl. Or the other way around, if you did Bishl before Shabbos and then sleep, after cooking it, after boiling it, you roasted it over the flame. Now it's sleep. So on Shabbos, if you want to put it next to a fire without any liquid, even in a way, you can't put it directly over a flame, but you put it next to a source of heat, even if that source of heat would you know, be enough that it would give it a tzli texture, it's okay, because you already gave it a tzli texture before Shabbos.
Do you know how they make the croutons, the little yellow ones? Do some people have a problem with the soup?
The little yellow ones, I believe, are deep fried. So that's like cooking. And so I think therefore it would not be. Again, in a bowl of soup, we said anyway, as long as you use the ladle, you could anyway. But if you want to put it into a pot of soup, so I believe, I should really check it out, maybe we'll try to check out the information before next time, but I believe the little yellow ones are fried in oil, and which like they're cooked in oil, so there's no problem.
That would be like the same kind of cooking.
It's like cooking, yeah. It doesn't make sense, it's cooked in oil, cooked in water, right?
Cook, boil and fry it will be the same one.
They say deep fry, because deep fry is like it's like boiling in oil, not frying in just a little bit of oil. No, that would not be the same. But deep frying, where it's immersed in the liquid immersed in the oil, is like cooking. Okay, so now one case where the poskim discuss would this be a shaila, would it according to the Be'er Lacha, is let's say you have a chalent, which was you cooked before Shabbos, and it's cooking, continue to cook on Shabbos, Bishl for sure, right? You make the challenge, you put water in, you put in potatoes and beans and barley and plenty of water, right? And it cooks, the challenge gets cooked, but the challenge was stayed on the flame, over on the fire, over shower, on the blech, whatever, over Shabbos, and the water dried out, and it became basically dry and started getting a little crispy. and you want to salvage it because you want to, you know, when you're not ready to serve it yet. So you don't want to take it off the fire because it'll get cold, but you don't want it to be a burnt, pot of chalent. So there are permissible ways of adding water on Shabbos, assuming you have water which is already completely cooked before Shabbos, like water that's just for argument's sake, that you boiled before Shabbos for argument's sake, and it was still on the flame, still in a kettle or an electric urn, still very hot. So to add that water to the chalent pot is permissible. Now there are other halachas. You have to pick up the chalent pot first, etc. And we'll eventually, hopefully, in the course of this whole limud, get to that. But get to speak out the details more. But you have to pick up the pot, and then you could pour that water in. So that's a very big kitzur. So the question is though, is that bishul achar tzli, achar bishul? It started with bishul the chalent, and then it was tzli because now it's been no more water. So it's been roasting now. And now you're adding hot water again it's going to recook. So a number of poskim address the question, including the Ksos HaShulchan, maybe one of the earliest I saw, is that Bishul Achatzli Achabishul, which according to the Mishnah Berurah would be a problem. According to the Prima Gadim anyway, it won't be a problem because you're allowed to do Bishul Achatzli Achabishul. But the Berlacha says you're not. So most of the Sfarim say it's not a problem. It's not a problem. Because we don't look at that really as a new thing. That's what's called just, it's the hemshich bishulo. It's just in the process of cooking, it went from being a bishul process to something that you might describe as tzli, but adding water then, it's just that was just hemshich bishulo. That's not considered tzli. The fact that it continued to stay hot and to sit on the flame without much liquid or without any perceptible liquid is not called sli. It's just called hemshich bishulo. So adding water is not a problem. So that's come out across the board. They say that's mutter to do. Again, remember you have to meet all those conditions I said before. The water has to be totally cooked before Shabbos and has to been on the fire till now. And when you put the chalent pot back on, you have to pick the chalent pot off. And when you put it back on, you have to be putting it back onto a proper blech, or groof of ketumah. So there are details, but once you check all those boxes, the person, you don't have to worry about the fact that maybe it's called bishlach etzeicha bishlach, and you'd be allowed to do it.
Even if the chalent's crispy.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yes, that's what they say. You'd be allowed to do it.
The way chalent, let's say like on Shabbos, you take a hot bowl of chalent and you put it on your plate, and would it be okay to put, let's say, cold kishka on top of that and mix it in? Or?
Yes. So the short answer is yes. Because kishka has also been it's been boiled before. It's completely cooked. I'm sure they cook kishka. It's not roasted. It's cooked, and so it's completely cooked. So even though it's cold now, that's another example. That's a good example. You could put that into your chalent, and even though your chalent might be reheating it and quote unquote cooking it, but ain't bishlach bishlach. So that's what they do. And you could even put it into the chalent pot, and as Kovach was saying, and then serve. You don't have not only on your plate. Okay, so now what I'd like to address now...
Would that be buying potato kugel also?
Yes, potato kugel, which is definitely, potato kugel, which is definitely, you boil the potatoes. So let's say you boil the potatoes, and then what happens if you boil the potatoes? Then you bake it in the oven. Okay, so here, if you want to... Now, where do you want to put it? Into the chalent?
Next to touching the chalent on the same plate, touching...
Well, if you don't... If it doesn't get... Yeah, touching this fish, okay. I mean, look, it's mavushal and then afui. So you have afia achabishal. Question is, to put it into the chalt mamish might be a question of bishal achar afia achabishal. Good to be alacha. But if you just have it on the same plate as the chalt.
Or if it's touching and the chalt is really hot.
Right, but I the chalt that's touching it is, I would, it's mistama more of like, so it depends what your chalt. If your chalt is a soup, and it's really a bishul act, that could be a shaila, because the potato kugel is now afui.
But it's a chalent on a plate.
Right.
So a chalent plate. That's a chalent plate that you have to put out from a bowl, little label, and put it on a plate.
Well, okay, so that's what we can consider. So if it's a liquid, it's anyway a kli sheni, at least, probably kli shlishi. And if it's a solid, it's anyway afia. It's not... it's really the same. It's not bishul anyway, so it wouldn't be. So either case, it really should be okay to do that. In either case, so it's really. So well, let's just begin this. We can't go. Let's just. What time is it?
9:52.
Okay. Let's just go through the basics of what I said before, because this is really what we need to know for a lot more of a practical shy that's coming up. There's a big distinction in halacha, both in the halachas of kashrus, of mixtures of Isser and Heter, or Basur and Chalav, and the halachas of Shabbos, between what's called a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. A Kli Rishon is the keli in which the food was originally cooked. You took ingredients and put them into a pot, and you put it in some water, and you cooked a soup. So that soup, that pot, is called a Kli Rishon. That's the pot which was actually cooked over the fire. Or same thing would be if you cooked it in a microwave and you took something out, hot from the microwave. It's not going to be okay so much in Shabbos because you can't cook in a microwave in Shabbos, or you can't use a microwave in Shabbos. No? And so by time, anything you made in the microwave will probably be cold by the time Shabbos starts. But it's no gay for Isser v'Heter. But for Shabbos purposes, you cooked something over a flame on an electric stove or a gas range or whatever it may be. The pot in which you cook the food is called a Kli Rishon. Or the kettle in which you boiled up the water, Kli Rishon. When you pour from that into a cup, and let's talk about liquid, let's start with liquids. You pour the soup into a mug or into a cup or into a bowl, or you pour the water into any one of those, any type of receptacle. The receptacle in which you poured it into is called the Kli Sheni. It's not the Kli in which the food was originally cooked. It's the Kli that received the cooked item. And the din is by a Kli Sheni. Well, let's we're talking about Hilchos Shabbos now specifically. Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. Kli Sheni doesn't cook things. Meaning to say, even if the temperature of the liquid in the Kli Sheni is still very hot, just as hot as the temperature in the Kli Rishon, or almost as hot, well above Yad Sol Edisbo, right? It's still not going to cook. Why? It's the same heat. Isn't it the heat that's cooking? But Chazal tell us, Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. And the reason, the way it's explained by Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, is that the primary difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni is that in a Kli Rishon, you're talking that the not only did the food get hot from the fire, but so did the keli itself. When you put a pot of soup, we put a soup on a fire, the fire heats up the pot as well as the contents of the pot. So the metal of the pot, or whatever the material is of the pot, also gets hot. So that pot, even if you take it off of the fire, has the capacity to cook. If you put raw ingredients, raw food into that pot, it will, as long as that pot's still hot, it will cook the food. But a Kli Sheni is a cold Kli. The bowl in which you poured your soup, or the mug into which you poured the hot water, started off cold. It was never heated up on the flame. The food, or the liquid that goes in it, gives off some heat to it. But there already it becomes a battle between the liquid, which was hot, and the walls of the keli, which are cold. And that's what Tosfos says. It's lacking what's called defanos mechamamos. It's lacking walls that are going to heat it up, which the Kli Rishon, the soup pot, has. But rather, the Metzius, you have defanos mekareros. You have walls, defanos are walls of the keli, which are mekarer, which are cooling off the food. So even though the food may still be at a very hot temperature, but it doesn't have the koach to cook anything because it's being combated and challenging by the walls of the keli. The walls of the keli are fighting to cool it down. So while the food is trying to maintain its heat, it doesn't have the koach to cook something else. That's the way roughly Tosfos explains it. So a Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. So Kli Sheni Mevashel. So it should be great. So you should, according to that, should be able to pour from your soup pot or from your kettle into a cup or a bowl or something, and then add cold food in there and not worry about anything. You can add cold raw ingredients and everything will be fine. But the reason why that's not entirely true, and in fact it's is largely not true, l'halacha maisa, is because there are exceptions to this rule of kli sheni and mevashel, and there are two main exceptions, or two main svaras, to, you know, reasons for exception. One is that there are certain things which are called kalei habishel, things that cook very easily. They're not difficult to cook. They're easily cooked. And kalei habishel could cook even in a kli sheni. That's the yisod in halacha that we pass on like the maisa, that kalei habishel could cook even in a kli sheni. Now, the question is, okay, well, what's classified as kalei habishel? So, the fee, the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Magen Avraham, it comes out in reality that almost anything which we don't know isn't kalei habishel, we have to treat like kalei habishel. Meaning, now, there are a few things that the Gemara tells us you're allowed to put into a kli sheni. Well, I don't want to say them now. Well, let's save that next time. I just want to go through the concept now. So there are certain things that we're taught are not, that you could put into a kli sheni. So those are obviously not kalei habishel, because the Gemara says you could do it, or the Mishnah says you could do it. But anything that we don't have a source in Gemara or Mishnah that you're allowed to put into a kli sheni, according to the Mishnah Berurah, we treat it as a possible kalei habishel, and you can't put it into a kli sheni. Let me just say the one thing. That's one reason. And the other svara is that even something which is not kalei habishel, but oftentimes there's a gzeira derabbanan that if you put something into a kli sheni, which is very hot, it's nireh kemavashel. It looks like you're cooking. I mean, even though it's not really possible to cook, but it doesn't look much different than putting it into the kli rishon. The kli rishon is called cooking. And the kli sheni, we had to give a lumdus hezber why it's not called cooking. We had to say, oh, from Tosis, because the funnest makaras. We had to give a lumdus why it's not called cooking. But that's a lumdus, and that's reality in halacha, but there's still what's called nireh kemevashel. So it ends up that most things cannot be put into a kli sheni. And well, the middle ground is irui, pouring from a kli rishon onto food. And that, we paskin, is mevashel. Not entirely, but at least kadei klipa, at least the outer layer. So they sort of believe that there. I'll take questions there, but let's pick up with this hopefully next time. Begin again with this kli rishon, kli sheni, and iroi, and then hopefully we'll be broadened up. The topic will have been broadened into many practical shilas.
So can I draw a chicken nugget or not?